Steven, take number two and take us to the end of the West.
So number two in the SEC West, Bill, I'm going to go with the Auburn Tigers here for number two. I'm bringing back a lot of talent to this team. Jarrett Stidham, who last year was the conference newcomer of the year, had over 3,000 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, 6 picks. Now, of course, you lose Kerryon Johnson, your bell cow, at running back, but Gus Malzahn returns a stacked group with Cam Martin, Aza Martin, Devin Barrett, Tre'Davious Whitlow. Now, a couple of these guys are unproven guys, but you have a group back there that you can rotate and get the ball into a number of hands to see who could become that next hot hand. Auburn's got pretty much all the receivers back, including Ryan Davis. Also, on the offensive line's a question. You lose Brayton Smith along with a couple of other guys. Defensively, you lose some pieces, but Kevin Steele has done a remarkable job coming over to the Auburn Tigers and Gus Malzahn, even though that marriage between Auburn and Malzahn, at times they love Malzahn, at times the Auburn faithful are wondering, can we get somebody better than Malzahn? But as of right now, the marriage seems to be on good terms. So number two, I would go with the Auburn Tigers. Number three, give me Texas A&M. Now, by year three, I think with Jimbo Fisher, this team will really be in contention for not just the Southeastern Conference title, but a chance to compete to get into that college football playoff. But in year one, the Aggies will be very competitive. Jimbo Fisher needs to locate the quarterback between Kellen Mond and Nick Starkel. I think it will be Starkel's arm talent, his accuracy, his precision, his timing that will land him the starting job. You got a great running back in Trevion Williams. And wide receiver Jamon Osmond comes back. He's a very physical guy. Defensively, hopefully the Aggies have learned how to not just stop the run, but limit teams from having success on the ground and also play the pass well. So defensively, it's going to be the main thing for Texas A&M, seeing how you thought that John Chavis would come in, recognizing his pedigree from Tennessee and LSU. You thought he would come into College Station and make a very huge impact. Unfortunately, apart from the likes of Myles Garrett and Deshaun Hall as your bookend defensive end, not much of an impact was made from the running game, stopping the run for Texas A&M. So hopefully this season will be the difference. But I have to add you to number three. Number four is tough because it can be a coin flip between Mississippi State, LSU, or Arkansas in this sense. LSU, ever since 2011, the Tigers have fallen off as that team that really challenges Alabama. From 2007 to 2011, that five-year period, you could always put LSU as that second-best team, or maybe even the best team, due to how Alabama and LSU have always been neck and neck. But ever since that 2012 game between the Tide and the Tigers in Baton Rouge, Alabama winning off that screen pass from A.J. McCarron to T.J. Yeldon, Tigers have fallen on some tough times there. Ed Ogeron, head coach, don't really see him as a head coach type of guy due to you got to have the coordinators to really help him get things done. Matt Canada, no longer the OC there at LSU. We'll see what happens. They typically bring in a good defense with Dave Aranda calling plays on that side of the ball. We'll see what happens, though. I look at the Arkansas Razorbacks bringing in Chad Morris. Will he provide a bigger impact than Brett Bielema? Bielema trying to take what he had in the Big Ten at Wisconsin from 26 to 20 to 2012 and apply it to the SEC. Had some success, but couldn't really get the big transcendent names to come there. You bring in Chad Morris from SMU. He's a guy that knows the Texas area pretty well. And then last but not least, Mississippi State. They will go as far as Nick Fitzgerald goes if Fitzgerald's healthy. I'll go with Mississippi State due to Fitzgerald's bat. He's the more proven quarterback of the three teams that I've named. Can he stay healthy, though, is the question. So I'll go with Mississippi State at 4. Give me LSU at 5. Give me Arkansas at 6. And then give me Ole Miss at 7.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to go there. Now, Jordan Tamu actually turned out to be a pretty good quarterback. Kind of surprises, and many are saying that Shea Patterson's at Michigan, yeah, because he thought he was misled about the probation, but some of it, obviously, that they don't want out is he wasn't sure he was going to be the starter.
Jordan Tamu came in the field and did an unbelievable job when Shea Patterson got hurt, put the team on his back. If you look at the body language of the wide receivers, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, DeMarcus Lodge, they really like what Jordan Tamu brings to the table. They love his confidence, his leadership, head coach Matt Luke, offensive coordinator Phil Longo. They rave about this young man. Now, Ole Miss also went out there and flipped a four-star quarterback for the 2019 class, if I'm not mistaken. They flipped Matt Corral from Florida to Ole Miss. So Matt Corral will join the Rebels this time around next season. But as of right now, the coaching staff, the players, the fan base over there in Oxford really loving the swagger that Jordan Tamu brings to the table.
Yeah, Matt Corral's there. Yeah, so he's Class 18, but good point. That was a big name. And, yeah, he was committed to Florida prior under Coach Mack there. Now, let me ask you about A&M, because I like where you're going there. Do you think it's possible 2-3 years in that A&M becomes the biggest nemesis to Alabama, more so than even Auburn or LSU?
I think it's very possible, Bill. It starts with recruiting. Jimbo Fish is a solid recruiter. He's one of the better ones on the field in the brand right now. I mean, look at what he did at Florida State. I understand, you know, personality-wise, Jimbo did some things that rubbed fans the wrong way, administration the wrong way, probably even some players the wrong way at times at Florida State off the field. But on the field, if we're talking on the field, Jimbo brought Florida State national championship in 2013, a conference championship in 2013, helped produce a Heisman Trophy winner and Jameis Winston, who's in the National Football League, going through some trouble right now in the NFL, but be that as it may, did put Jameis Winston in the NFL. So you look at here with Texas A&M at a program that put $500 million into that athletic facility, into the weight room facility, into that entire program. The Aggie fan base believes that with the monies we spent on this program, with the facilities we have, with the institution that we have, we should be on the same playing field, on the same level as an Alabama, an Auburn, a Georgia, teams of that nature. So by year three, I look at the way Jimbo Fisher recruits it, and already if you talk to Aggie fans at College Station, they're already sensing that the culture is changing down there from Kevin Sumlin to Jimbo Fisher. When Kevin Sumlin was down there, it was kind of a lackadaisical, kind of nonchalant approach. With Jimbo Fisher, he's already got these guys talking openly about, we're here to win championships. We're here to get titles. We're here to make a jump from being good to, you have to look at us now. You have to respect us now. You have to really put a microscope on us right now. So if Jimbo can continue to recruit the way he was able to do at Florida State, at Texas A&M, he's going to have the resources, especially with Texas and Louisiana being hotbeds for recruiting, along with areas like your Georgias, your Alabamas, your Floridas, your Californias. But if Jimbo can recruit at A&M the way he was able to do at Florida State, by year three, I think you could really see an Aggie team that could really give Nick Saban a push.
Steven, how can everybody get your information, follow your work?
I think they can reach out to me, Bill, on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Coaching M. Smith. On Twitter, that's at Coaching M. Smith. The site there is Touchdown Alabama Magazine. They can follow that on Twitter at TD Alabama Mag. The site itself is TDAlabamaMag.com, where we cover the Crimson Tide in the fullest detail, whether you want practice recaps, game recaps, highlights, position battles, what's going on with Nick Saban's hair color. Anything you want to know about the Crimson Tide, you can follow that tdalabamamag.com.
There you go, my friend. Appreciate you very much.
No problem, Bill and Charlie. Happy to be on with you guys again. It's been a while.
It's good to have you back, my friend. Thank you.
No problem.
There he is, Stephen Smith.